If you recollect what I said last time, we had considered different ways by which the bondage of the soul was conceived. I spoke of Buddhistic explanation, Advaitic explanation, and several others. But the main point that was made was that none of them explains how the bondage takes place. They had a solution as to how to come out of the bondage, how to be liberated, how to become mukta, but how one really came into bondage, that was not explained. And I thought that before we proceed further, we shall dwell a little on this question, because it is very much connected with what follows in the text. Now, when I said that none of them explains how the bondage takes place, it is not entirely true. There is an answer which says that this is inexplicable. That is one answer that is given. How the soul comes to be in bondage, that question, it is declared, is inexplicable. Or else it is said that it happens by some kind of mistake on the part of the soul. Or else it is said that while playing with bondage, it forgets it is playing, and then it enters into bondage as if it is real, and then all the misery comes about. So you might say there are three answers to this question as to how the soul enters into bondage. But basically none of these answers is really satisfying. To say that it is inexplicable is to admit that there is no answer to this question. To say that it has come about by a mistake seems to be inconsistent with the nature of the soul. If the soul is luminous in character, it would not commit a mistake. So it does not satisfy. Thirdly, if it is said that in the beginning the soul was playing with bondage and then suddenly it forgets that it is playing, and then it becomes serious about the bondage, and then the misery is resulted. Now this answer also is similar to the second answer, that somehow there is a forgetfulness and there is some kind of mishap, an accident takes place. So you might say that these three answers are really not satisfying answers. Is there at all a satisfying answer anywhere? That is the question that we should ask. Now this is also connected with the question, a deeper question.
Who is bound?
Who becomes ignorant?
Who is still in the bondage?
And who wants to become free?
Who is it? Who wants to?
According to the Advaitic answer to this question, there is none bound, none to be freed. That which is bound and that which is still is a pure illusion. But how did this illusion come about? The basic answer is that this is not explicable.
Answer to ego.
In Buddhistic answer, that which is bound is the sense of the ego. Every one of us has the sense of ego, and this ego feels bound in a situation from which it wants to come out. So according to this answer, ego is in bondage. And when the ego comes out of the bondage, ego no more remains ego. It is dissolved. So you might say ego is bound, ego is freed, but when ego is freed, there is nothing anymore remaining which you can say enjoys the freedom. As against that, there is a great Upanishadic statement which says, avidyaya mrityum tirtva vidyaya amritam ashnute. This is what we had seen when we did Ishopanishad, that by avidya, by ignorance, one crosses over the depths, and by knowledge, by vidya, one enjoys immortality. So here there is a clear statement that there is something that at one stage was in state of suffering, and there is a further stage where he really comes out of suffering and there is an enjoyment of immortality. So this differs from both the answers that I have given so far. A dualistic answer, because according to a dualistic answer, none suffers. None is bound, none is freed, none needs to be freed, because the Brahman is always free. So the question is, who is it that gets bound? Who is it that is suffering the bondage? And who is it that enjoys immortality? Now in the Veda, in the Upanishad, in the Gita, it is these three great works of India do seem to have an answer to this question. But if you read them, the answer is not sufficiently visible. The answer is given, but you might say there are hints here and there, but you cannot discover them very easily. All this Advaitic theory is certainly from the Veda, but you might say it is one of the interpretations of the Veda. In the historical process, the distance between the Advaitic theory and the Vedas is about 4,000 years. The Vedas were written, let us say, 4,000 years ago. And the Advaitic theory came into real prominence only in about 700 AD. So that is the difference historically. So if you go to the Veda directly, and if you read, then there are statements of the kind that I made just now, that from, by Vidya you enjoy immortality. This is from the Veda and Upanishad. And this statement is interpreted in many ways in later times, and Advaita is one of such interpretations. So although you might say that Advaita is in the Veda, a distinction has been made that there is Veda itself as a text, and then there are many interpretations of that text, of which Advaita is one. And there are many others who dispute that Advaita is a real explanation of the Veda. There is, for example, the theory of Vishishtadvaita, which says that Advaita is not a correct interpretation of the Veda. Then there is Dvaitavada, which also says that both Advaitavada and Vishishtadvaitavada do not represent the real Veda. So there are controversies of this kind. So, leaving aside these controversies, if you go straight to the Veda, now fresh, then I told you that there is an answer to this question, but this answer is not so visible. You find it quite difficult to find the answer. Now, one of the special features of the Life Divine, which you are now reading, is that a good deal of this book is devoted to this very question. How does one get bound? And how does one get really free from it? And without understanding this to some extent, the rest of the chapter that we are reading would not be so very easy to grasp. That is why I thought I should first dwell a little on this question. The answer that Sri Aurobindo gives is this. It is the individual who gets bound. It is the individual who suffers. It is the individual who seeks liberation. It is the individual who gets liberation. Now the word individual is used by Sri Aurobindo to distinguish it from several other terms with which very often people confuse it. The word individual is to be distinguished from ego. Sri Aurobindo's answer is that it is not that ego is gets bound. He says individual gets bound, individual feels the bondage, and the individual gets liberated. So there is a distinction between the individual and the ego. And we shall see further the distinction later on also. But first of all, we must be clear that Sri Aurobindo makes a distinction between the individual and the ego. Individual gets bound, individual is experiencing the bondage, and the individual gets liberated.
Excuse me, Uncle, that means bondage is a necessary factor. You have to want to get bound.
It is not necessary, but for a certain purpose, the individual gets bound. It is not necessary the individual must get into bondage. But if a certain purpose is to be fulfilled, then this becomes a necessary instrument. And that purpose being set forth, the individual enters into the bondage. In other words, individual enters into bondage not by any mistake, as many people believe it to be, there was an accident and there was a mistake, and by mistake the individual got bound. So here it is not that as if the individual got bound by mistake. All right. But it is not necessary that individual should get bound.
So in order to seek liberation, you don't have to be bound. There must be another instrument.
No, according to this theory, individual originally is free already.
Mm-hmm.
Originally. But then for a certain specific purpose, which you shall see later on, for a certain specific purpose, it deliberately enters into the state of bondage. And then having entered into the state of bondage, having worked out a few things that have to be done, then it seeks liberation. And then it enters into the state of liberation. All right? Now, individual is to be distinguished from the ego on the one side. Individual is to be distinguished from the universal on the other. So the answer is, universal does not get bound. It is the individual gets bound. Individual is also distinguished from the transcendental. So there are two other terms, the transcendental and the universal. So the individual is to be distinguished on one side from the ego, and from the other side from the transcendental and from the universal. So if you want to put the whole answer in a comprehensive manner, it may be said that the transcendental does not get bound. The universal does not get bound. It is the individual that gets bound. And if the ego is only a consequence of the bondage, individual when really gets bound, the resultant is a production of ego.